lot of the membership is asking this question: why should I get vaccinated?
Vaccines are the greatest development we've ever had in regard to the benefit to humanity in regard to a medical investigation. By the time it gets to tier two, tier one is going to be healthcare workers across the country. We are running towards this vaccine. I received this vaccine today, dose one. 21 days, I want the next one.
This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman. Welcome back for another edition of 5x5 APA's podcast. And today, we're going to feature APA President Captain Eric Ferguson talking with Aeromedical Chair Captain Pete Lewis and Consulting Infectious Disease Specialist Dr. Rick Roth on the topic of COVID-19 vaccinations, which we realize is very much on our pilots' minds these days. So without further ado, Captain Ferguson.
Thank you, Mr. Overman. Thank you, Dr. Roth. Thank you, Captain Lewis, for being with us today. I've had the pleasure of working with Dr. Roth, though not nearly as closely as Captain Lewis has, for quite a few months now, since the pandemic really reared its head, particularly here in North America. He's been an invaluable asset. He's got tremendous credentials, yet an ability to distill things then from a medical standpoint into language that pilots will understand well, and draws lots of metaphors and analogies that just work and help us all understand something that's just not within the grasp of most of us really, really well. And so I just find it super helpful. He is an MD with a Harvard background. He has his PhD in flying, which is also known as Airline Transport Association, with a specialty in Gulfstream and corporate jets, and is an active pilot. Again, very, very helpful in being able to translate things that are useful to us. So let me turn it to Captain Lewis for just a moment, and then he can give his insight into Dr. Roth's background. And from there, we'll go into some Q&As and frequently asked questions as we've been able to determine related to the vaccine and the pandemic. So Captain Lewis.
Thank you, Captain Ferguson. We're honored today to have Dr. Rick Roth, an infectious disease Harvard-trained doctor, as Eric alluded to. There have been several questions sent to the Aeromedical Committee, the Aeromedical Advisors, and what we would like to do today is we would like to discuss those questions and try and answer them to the best of our ability based on the information we have currently. And of course, we will expound as we can as we go forward and learn more about this. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce Dr. Roth. And Dr. Roth, I'd like you just to say hi to everybody and give us a quick background on your specialty and your experience in infectious disease and how you got here to APA.
Well, thank you, Captain Lewis. And President Ferguson, I want to thank you, the leadership at APA, as well as make a special recognition to the very hard work that's going on at APA Aeromedical that I've known for years. Again, I'm a pilot, I'm a husband, I'm at the same time an infectious disease physician. And there's been some parallel careers that we all wear a lot of hats. But when I was in my early part of training, I received an Eastman Kodak scholarship in regard to chemistry and the most important chemical molecule we could try to create when we got involved in infectious disease 28 years ago was HIV. So I ran to the sound of the guns. I went to San Francisco, I went to Boston, we worked on HIV, and unfortunately we never got a vaccine, but we basically put HIV in our rearview mirror by very effective and safe medication. At the same time, as a pilot, there are very few infectious disease folks that the FAA could find a nexus with. And my work with the FAA was to become their infectious disease consultant. And it's been an honor to do that. Anybody who is reviewed or is appealed has to go to the NTSB. So I'm also the infectious disease consultant with the NTSB. And had a relatively average career, do a lot of training, work with our trauma hospital, do a lot of publication. And then at any time where I have to teach other aviation medical examiners, they will always see me talk about the benefits of vaccine. Vaccines, which were started out in the 1700s by a guy named Sir Edward Jenner. Vaccines are the greatest development we've ever had in regard to the benefit to humanity in regard to a medical investigation. Vaccines are what we do, and to benefit mankind. We come up with other things, bypasses or new surgeries or new chemical agents, but preventing a disease is the key. And all of a sudden COVID hit. My life has changed. Our aviation lives have changed. We have never seen an infectious disease impact the normality of human life across the globe as we have with COVID. And that's where we're at right now, and we're working through it. As I'll finish up, the trajectory originally was say, what is this? What was this? We identified it by about January of this year. Then we try to figure out how is it transmitted? How can we deal with surface or airborne transmission? And then about another 6 months was all, how can we test it quickly? All the testing. And now amazingly, through really, and I don't want to overuse the word warp speeds, but through a thrust vector that we've never seen before, through the finances that have been thrown at companies, as well as the research cadre that we've had, where we can communicate across the industries, research and development, we are now here to talk about the final phase of putting us in our rearview mirror, which is the benefit of vaccination.
Thank you for that information, Dr. Roth. It's very helpful. I've always been impressed with the early days of your career, the arc of your career, and the story about heading to San Francisco and the early days of the HIV situation. I mean, no doubt it was frightening and daring work as a doctor, I would say. So can you tell me just a tiny bit more about that, and then we'll roll to our FAQs.
It was an epidemic, and we didn't know. And we didn't know how to test it. We weren't sure its modalities of transmission. We even were bold enough, yet ignorant enough, to say if you came from Haiti, you were a likely modality or vector of transmission. And we just didn't know. We didn't know how to stop certain transmissions. We kept transfusing individuals and giving people blood products. And so we killed off a lot of hemophiliacs. We've isolated people from schools. So it just shows you that when there's something new, there has to be a trajectory that also includes our database and be able to navigate around that. And that's what we do as pilots. When we take off, yeah, you get a METAR, you get a TAF, you kind of get a good about 18 pages of weather. But when you finally have to be tactical and not just strategic, that's what we've done now for 9 months. And we have to have a population of pilots under APA that understand that we can't always know what's down across the horizon, but we got radar right now that we didn't have in the HIV epidemic, but we've got some really good radar and technology to work through so we can navigate around these thunderstorms. And some of these bumps are along the technological advancements of vaccination, just like it was around the understanding how to go about testing.
Great, thank you for that, Dr. Roth. So we have some written FAQs we've come up with at APA. We intend to publish very soon. Of course, you and Captain Lewis and the APA Aeromedical staff have put these together for the edification of and education of our pilots. But I think having you on board with us today, you can provide any amplification that the actual document does not perhaps contain that you think might be worthwhile. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Captain Lewis.
All right. Thank you, Eric. I'm really honored to be able to ask Dr. Roth these questions about the COVID-19 vaccines that are now available for tier one people. And as we move forward, Dr. Roth will expound on what is available currently in vaccines. First question is, will the vaccine give me COVID-19, Dr. Roth?
It will not. This is a particle vaccine. It will not give you an active infection. It is not a contagious inoculum at all that's being injected into individuals.
Thank you. Next question is, how soon can I get the vaccine?
Great question. And what we saw after the VRB PAC meeting December 10th was the approval of the Pfizer vaccine, the mRNA vaccine. When we knew a week later, who wasn't at the first December 10th party, here we are a week later, and December 16th, we get the approval of the same type of vaccine, same technology, a good database of the mRNA vaccine of Moderna. And now it's all based on supply and demand. They rolled it out. The shipping already happened last week. Even down here in little old Savannah, we started vaccination with. And once we get more supply, we'll get into a tier two. Tier one is going to be healthcare workers as well as nursing home residents. And then we'll likely expand it into the more general population. Of that population will be essential services, which will be aerospace. So we're looking hopefully probably in January of having the most two recently approved vaccines based on supply and distribution to occur. And some of that will be potentially inhibited a little bit over states' rights of how each state wants to approach that. Good question.
Thank you, Dr. Roth. Which vaccine can I get?
Without a doubt, we want to go with FDA-approved vaccines. There were over 150 candidates. Some of those are still in study. I have never recommended a pilot to pursue a trial, investigation, or a study, because those could potentially impact their eligibility for a first-class medical. But what we have now are two approved, well-studied mRNA vaccines, specifically the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. They have also been now used the words unprecedentedly. The FAA, Federal Air Surgeon, said we are encouraging the use to ATC as well as the airman population, the use of the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine equivalently. Phenomenal and a very strong statement from an extremely keep your cards at your vest institution.
Thank you.
Dr. Roth, this is Eric. Thank you so much. That was incredibly informative. But what you just said, I think, could use a little amplification here. So the FAA, that is normally silent on inoculations, seems to be endorsing this one at this point. So they've addressed it on the front end and said that, you know, they've set a boundary of some limitations related to it. And that's unprecedented. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I have never seen in an FAA document where not only did they say something's eligible, but they actually used the word encourage this. And they are encouraging not only for pilots, but under their own umbrella, which is I also do the medicals on air traffic controllers. I do their hearing tests, but they need listening tests. But that's a different exam that I do on them. But they are using the word encouraging. And that is outside of their typical nomenclature, wordology that you see. And you've read an FAA document. It is usually pretty black and white.
Thank you, Dr. Roth. How does the vaccine work?
This vaccine is different, as we've seen with different technologies. For instance, when we used to take cholesterol medication, we used to bind the cholesterol in your gut. That we call those binding agents. And then we figured out new technology to stop its production. That is the natural progression of medicine. We used to look at blood pressure medications where we used to use diuretics and get the volume out and reduce the pressure inside of a vessel, like your blood vessels. And then we came up with other ways to develop new technologies for blood pressure. And this is what's happened since the 1700s. We first inoculated people with a live virus. Then we gave inoculations to people with an attenuated or a modified virus. So instead of fixing smallpox, when we looked at polio, we used a dead virus or a modified virus. Then we looked at hepatitis vaccination, and we've eradicated hepatitis B in the United States. So we actually created recombinantly, we made with genetic material, we made the particle of hepatitis virus that we then injected you with. And we, with a three-shot series, which you have never had a report to the FAA, we've eradicated hepatitis B. And now we wanted to figure out a way to come up with a vaccine to a virus that we've never been able to vaccinate for. It was a common cold. And we never had the ability to vaccinate for that. So we had to use, again, another technology. Quantum leaps. This is what we do. We try to advance, whether it's with chemotherapy or whether it's blood pressure medication or whether it's with technology in our cockpit. We make advancements and we accept them as pilots. We always want the latest and greatest. And this has been a well-studied, extremely scrutinized. I think this vaccine is scrutinized probably greater than the VTEL Bonanza architecture was ever scrutinized in regard to a technological thing and how we look at something. And with that scrutiny, the mRNA vaccine, what it does is it puts inside your muscle, in your deltoid, it puts inside your muscle the ability of your body to make a protein. And then your body makes an antibody to that protein. Oh, and by the way, when your body makes an antibody to that protein, it also digests the vaccine that you just got. That vaccine doesn't go inside the nucleus. It doesn't integrate inside your DNA. It doesn't become part of you. It just allows your body to make a protein, and then you develop antibody to the protein and then get rid of that virus, the vaccine itself. It's a phenomenal technological leap, but it gives us the ability to develop a common antibody to what's called the spike protein of the cold virus, the coronavirus, which we never could before.
Thank you again. Great answer. I appreciate that. So based on what you just expounded on with how it works, how do I know the vaccine is safe?
Safety is studied in three phases on every drug that's approved by the FAA. We first look at dosing, we then look at tolerance, and then we look at effectiveness. And the most important phase is phase three. The Pfizer vaccine looked at 40,000 individuals in phase three. The Moderna vaccine looked at over 30,000 in phase three. And then when we look at those, we look at something called side effect or adverse events. The side effect profile is predictable. That's when people get a little sore arm. They don't feel good for maybe a day. And that's why the FAA looked at side effect profile and said, okay, let's sit people for 24 to 40. Let's sit people for 48 hours after they get the vaccine. But that is different. Side effect profile, nuisance. Just they bother you a little bit. Adverse effect profile has been looked at phase three, and it is less than 0.1%. These are extremely small scenarios. That's what, for instance, if someone had an allergy, if you, for instance, have had significant allergies to vaccines in the past, like anaphylaxis, we don't want you getting this vaccine. They'll be curted out. We didn't include things like pregnancy or immunocompromised people. So those would be pushed out of the adverse event profile. There have been a couple people, very small group, who had Bell's palsy, and that's an adverse event. But again, that's been reversible. But the adverse event profile looked extremely good, and that's what allowed these two vaccines to be approved. And then once again, a separate group of individuals, including myself from the FAA, wanted to scrutinize these to how it could impact a pilot population. And not only did we look at phase three and approve, but look at phase three and applaud. We've actually are using again that word encourage the ATC and the pilot population based on the safety profile of phase three to then be expanded.
Thank you. That's a good answer. Thank you, Dr. Roth. So the next question I have for you is, how is the vaccine administered?
Vaccines, old school vaccines used to be scratched in the arm when we used to get the smallpox scar that we used to see on our arm. We then had some that were given oral and some that were given intranasal, but this is a typical injectable vaccine. Vaccines works best when they're stuck in meat. They don't work very well when they're stuck in fat. And unfortunately, a lot of people get a little bit more fat around their buttocks, so it's with a short needle, it's much better to give it in your arm. The upper part of your arm is called the deltoid muscle, and this vaccine was only studied in deltoid vaccination. So it's never going to be given in someone's butt, never going to be given in someone's belly, but it'll always be given in the arm because the most likelihood is that you have less of a fat layer around your deltoid and then it is injected into the muscle and then it integrates in terms of its mechanism of activity. And one thing I would like to add, Captain Pete, is that the vaccines are administered in a sequence. We call it a series. Time zero, and then when you need the second shot. You do not get enough immunity with the first shot. And as with many vaccines, you remember anthrax vaccines, it was a five-shot series. Hepatitis vaccine was a three-shot series. And so it's a two-shot series. The Pfizer vaccine was studied with a time zero and then a 21 day. It's called 021. You get the first shot. The FAA is supported to wait 48 hours after each shot, not the whole series, but just after each shot. The Pfizer vaccine is you get the first shot, wait 48 hours, and then you get another one at day 21, wait 48 hours. The Moderna vaccine, first shot, wait 48 hours, and you get another one at 28th day, which would be a month out. And then both of those, when we looked at not just side effect or adverse event profile, but we looked at what antibody titer, what amount of antibody they made, it shows you that you need the second shot. And you are likely going to be at that 94% profile of protection 1 week after that second shot. It's phenomenal.
And then I think my final question to you is, and a lot of the membership is asking this question, why should I get vaccinated?
this has been a lethal disease. It has not been a nuisance disease at all. In general, influenza, if you're under the age of 65, under the age of 70, it doesn't typically have this mortality. We have filled hospitals. We have filled ICUs. You and I have talked to otherwise healthy airmen, ages 41. We've talked to their wives that are, and these airmen are going on ventilators. We've never seen that from something as a novel virus like this. And the only way to go about it, although we still have to follow distancing, mitigation strategies, hand washing, gels, like masking, all of these are critical until we get up to the point of herd immunity. But we can put it in our rear view mirror if we get to a point of herd immunity. It is a well-studied, with our preliminary data, again, it was phase three data, a safe and effective vaccine. The FAA, which is extremely scrutinizing things, has encouraged this vaccine. And the healthcare community, which has also put a lot of work into this, we are encouraging this to be our test base. By the time it gets to tier two, tier one is going to be healthcare workers across the country. We are running towards this vaccine. I received this vaccine today, phase one, dose one, 21 days, I want the next one. And we will have, before it gets to the pilots, probably over 2 million other doses out there to also look at. The database of the safety does not stop at phase three. It will be a continuing database to show whether this is continuing to be as safe as it was in phase three. And by the time it gets to our pilot population, it won't be a number of 40,000. It won't be another 30,000 in the phase three. It'll be a couple million of how we can look at it. And you're going to have your contrarians. You're going to have it on the news where they show a few individuals. But the overwhelming support will be to the benefit of the vaccine to put this terrible phase, this period, behind us from an infectious disease perspective, as we've done with almost every other epidemic through vaccination.
Dr. Roth, and thank you for answering those questions. I have one last question. We talked about the mRNA and the new technology vaccines, but there also is an old technology vaccine on the horizon. Could you expound on that a little bit? As we know that there are some people that don't want to get the new technology mRNA vaccine. Could you just expound on the AstraZeneca vaccine?
Certainly, Captain Lewis. We are looking at least another 150 vaccines that are still in trial. And so when we happen to say certain names like AstraZeneca or Glaxo, there are other ones that are out there. And the technology that they're using, some of the other ones are mRNA. Some of them are using a dead virus. And then you got some of them that are using a particle. And that's where we are with AstraZeneca. It's an older technology. When I say older, that's what we give flu shots every year. Every new flu shot that we give every year is still a particle. It works. It just does not appear that the effectiveness of how well you make your bulletproof vest is approaching anywhere near 95%. What we try to give you is a bulletproof vest. And I want to wear a bulletproof vest that's about 94 or 95%. I don't want a bulletproof vest unless half the bullet's through. And that A is what's happening with the older technology. And by the way, that's also what's happening if you only get one shot. Some people say, well, I just want to get the first because there's more side effect after the second shot. If you don't get the second shot, you're probably reducing your bulletproof vest down to a 50% efficacy. The next thing we're going to need to understand is to get herd immunity. We have to have people accept this vaccine. If we don't get everybody putting on seatbelts, we're not going to have the effectiveness of the protection that seatbelts offer. So we took a while, and you had a lot of people fight against seatbelts for a while. We had to ticket them. And now most everybody clicks when they get into a car. What we're doing with this vaccine is not to sell it, but just to understand the benefit, as I've said, of what vaccines can do. If we get about a 70% take of a 90% effective vaccine, we'll get herd immunity. If we go out there with 60 to a 70% vaccine, we got to get a 90% take. And so if we just get about 70%, just about three out of four and we're talking global here, but it's a global epidemic of going with this vaccine, we'll get there. In the meantime, we got a long way to get global. And so we're going to look at a little bit of amber wind shear before we get to the red wind shear and then past it. On the side of every wind shear, first you get an increasing performance, and then on the, uh-oh, I got something on the other side. We're still here in amber, and we're probably looking at some other bumps. But as we finally promulgate a vaccine take of close to 70% global, we'll put this in our rearview mirrors. We will learn along the way, side effect profile and adverse event with greater numbers. But don't let the very minuscule adverse event profile create a culture against this. In summary, we need a broad acceptance. And when you accept it, you'll be protected yourself and you'll protect others as well.
Great. Real quick, Dr. Roth, this is Eric. You said something that got my attention very quickly there. Again, you said it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Just because a vaccine has been approved doesn't mean that we are in the clear here yet. Right now, what's the status of the pandemic globally right now? What are you seeing happening? What's the trend? Because I think it's going to get worse before it gets better potentially. And then when do you foresee that things might begin to really stabilize?
We've seen ebbs and flows along the way. It's almost looked like a stock market where it's a W pattern. We see ups and downs, and that's the nature of epidemics for a while. But when it's global, it's a little bit different. You'll have one country or one state changing its patterns, and then it is impacted across because they don't stay there anymore. Epidemics used to just stay in certain areas, but now with transportation, they mix. And so we've been seeing ebbs and flows. I think we can't have a crystal ball, but we do have some history, and history is your best educator in regards to that. We saw what happened in Italy, in Europe, in New York, where they took the big hit and then it went down and then it came back up to other areas. We thought Texas, we thought Florida, we thought the Midwest was going to be spared, and they popped up. So there's been a little bit of whack-a-mole going on, and that's going to continue during the time we roll out a very broad vaccination program. This vaccine right now is mostly only healthcare workers. That's less than 10% of the population if we look at that globally. Now we go across to get the other 90%. It's going to take some time.
So in summary, Dr. Roth, thank you very much for answering these very important questions and answer and your answers that you provided. So let's just summarize. Clinical trials have showed the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to be both safe and effective, about 95%. You cannot get COVID-19 from these vaccines. Neither vaccine uses a live virus. Those are coming down the pipeline here and will probably be approved later in the 2021. Neither of the vaccines will alter your DNA. mRNA from COVID-19 vaccine enters the nucleus of the cell, which is where our DNA is kept. Based on what we know about vaccines and other diseases, experts believe that getting a COVID-19 vaccine may help keep you from getting seriously ill, even if you do get the vaccine. Getting vaccinated yourself may also protect people around you, particularly people at increased risk of severe illness. Remember, this is a choice. We're not advocating. We're just giving you the data as best we can. You have my phone number and my email. If you have any questions, I'm available whenever you'd like to discuss. And I'd like to turn it back over to Captain Ferguson. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Captain Lewis. Thanks for all you have done for us and our pilot group during this most challenging time to be the aeromedical chairman at APA. But we thank you for all you have done. I will note that I think you said there that even if you've gotten the virus or have had the virus, it's still going to be recommended that you take the vaccine. So I'll ask Dr. Roth to answer that for us. Dr. Roth, I can't recall what he said for sure. I just want to clarify. I've had and recovered and was fairly minor for me. So tell us about somebody like my situation, Dr. Roth.
Yeah, once again, a great question and a great clarification. Again, this is not a live vaccine. You do not get the virus when you get this vaccine. It produces an antibody response to the virus. At the same time, when they studied this to show if it was effective or not, we're not going to study people who are actively infected. It's just not a way to go about any kind of study. And so you don't look at a preventative Let's say we're going to take a drug to prevent heart attacks. You don't study people who are actually having a heart attack to say, how do we prevent it? It doesn't work that way. So you're going to get, well, it hasn't been studied. And so what we're doing is we're telling individuals who are either are actively infected and they're going to get over it, or people that are in quarantine / isolation, to wait till they're after they're off their isolation, after they're off their quarantine, typically that 10 to 14 day window, and then they can proceed with vaccination.
Okay, thank you. So even folks that have had it and recovered, whether it was severe or minor, it's going to be recommended to take the vaccine in any event.
Exactly. And if I could just add to that point, that the vaccine trajectory of the immune response through this technology is so good that you make a better immune response from the vaccine than you did from the natural infection, which is why you would get this, even if you had the infection, you confirmed, let's say, by an antibody that we've done with APA, we do want to then at least recommend to these individuals to also get the vaccine.
All right. Thank you again, Captain Lewis. Thank you, Dr. Roth. There's a whole universe of issues that come along with the recent certification of the vaccine, along with just continuing to operate airliners globally in a pandemic world. So to that end, we have established a vaccine task force headed by Vice President Patrick O'Rourke and with Mr. Jim Clark as well, working to make sure we cover these issues from every possible aspect, not unlike we did in the early days of the pandemic, figuring out the best operational practices and protocols, procedures and such to keep our folks safe in the environment and as much as we possibly could. So we are not letting up. APA will continue to cover all these issues. We have some of the best experts available, as you've just heard from Dr. Roth, to consult with throughout this. We have terrific legal cadre as well, and we will provide the best guidance available as we march towards a day where this thing has been eradicated and we can return to normal. And I hope we all do our part. I know we will. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Mr. Overman, Communication Director at APA, to close us out.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Highly informative. It's clear from all the queries we've received from our members, there's a tremendous appetite for information about the COVID-19 vaccines. And we will continue to disseminate information as we receive it. Most likely, this will not be the last 5x5 devoted to this topic. So again, with that, that's it for today. And we thank you for joining us.